forward to having one of my favorite guests on in about 25 minutes. I know someone that you have the utmost respect for and I just love, and that's the Hall of Famer Warren Moon. We'll talk Seahawks football in about 25 minutes.
Aren't you excited? Are you more excited to talk Seahawks football or Warren Moon?
We're going to do both. You know what? Warren Moon is one of the classiest individuals that I've met in all my years of being in this business.
Yeah.
Warren Moon is just a great person.
Yeah, I totally agree. From his days at the University of Washington to the CFL, NFL, just a great guy.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. That's going to be coming up at the bottom of the hour. Good old Warren Moon.
Yes, sir. Napes, 10 days away. You know what we're 10 days away from?
No.
No?
College football?
No. Come on. Give me another guess.
10 days? What is today's date? The 17th?
Yeah. So we're talking Saturday the 26th.
Saturday the 26th.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You got me. I'm stumped.
What?
Yeah. What's Saturday the 26th of August?
Double M, baby. Mayweather McGregor.
I'd rather watch two dogs play hockey on my front yard. I don't give a damn about that fight. And anybody that pays to go watch that is going to get ripped off.
Come on, Grant. This is entertainment. Are you not entertained?
I said I would be entertained watching paint peel off my wall over that.
Are you serious that you're not going to watch it?
I'm not going to watch it. I don't care.
When we come in on Monday, I'm going to be
honestly,
the only...
I have absolutely zero interest in that. Zero. I have no interest in that. You know, I read today where, you know, they were approved to wear 8-ounce gloves, and that's supposed to be a huge boost for McGregor. I'm like, really? Are we really talking about that, the difference from 10 ounces to 8 ounces, and how that's going to be a big deal for Conor McGregor? Come on.
He's got a puncher's chance. He probably won't touch
Floyd.
Anyone
in the ring's got a puncher's chance.
This is true. Look at you. Ah, well played. Oh, Mr. Judge, going yard. All rise, Grant. All rise.
Got a little way to go to with Mr. Stanton of Marlins, huh?
Oh, goodness gracious.
How good is he right now?
Man, I will tell you. And you know what? He's as big as Judge, a little smaller, but it's those are some big men. When he swings the ball, if he touches it, that thing is just it's on its own stratosphere, man.
All right. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, NFL preseason week number two, unless you're talking about the Hall of Fame game where those teams, Arizona and Dallas, played an extra game, but no one played, so it doesn't really matter. Once again, we're seeing injuries,
yeah.
And that's just the one thing you need to not see for your team, injuries. And, boy, there's already been a number of guys that have been lost for the year.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask Warren about that and talk to him about what the Seahawks do when it comes to injuries because, you know, Grant, the physicality of the game, that's what it's based upon. So, you know, that's why I would say you've talked about it many times. You know, preseason football means absolutely nothing, maybe even shrink it down, cut it back. But you want to make sure because some of the best players in the world, you want to see them on the field. You don't want to see them injured in the preseason.
All right, again, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We've got Warren Moon, as I
this
said, he's going to be coming up in about 20 minutes.
We're going to get you right up to 7 o'clock. Please be advised that this is neither a sales
got,
nor a solicitation call. We are contacting
weekend.
You
again,
in reference
really
to an important matter.
Where you
please
see
call us at 1-844-705-4613.
Some teams even play their starters
as soon as
at
possible.
The beginning of the fourth
we
quarter.
We are open until 11
and
o'clock p.m.
I don't think you're
going to
see the Raiders
Standard
being
Time,
one of those teams.
Monday through Friday,
you might see San Francisco,
and 5
though, being
p.m.
one of those teams.
Central Standard
and, I mean,
Time
me, and if I'm
Saturday.
A Rams fan, I don't want to see Jared Goff play two series and come off the field like he did the other night. I want to see him play a lot. Why are you only playing him two series?
I have no idea. He has a lot of time to make up for. You play him, if he ends up getting hurt, he's going to have a clipboard like he did last year. But the point is, Grant, you got to get him out there, get him seasoned, get him in. The game moves faster, obviously, in the NFL than it does in college, and he has to get those type of reps in there. I would agree with you about San Francisco. I think that they are going to have to put some guys out there on the field and really start to get the rhythm of who they are and start to define what 49ers football is going to be.
Yeah, just, you know, I mean, if you're a Rams fan, there's Bill Miller, he's at first base. If you're a Rams fan, what on earth are you doing? I mean, don't you want Jared Goff? I don't care if it's the first preseason game. Get the guy out there for, you know, more than two series.
Do you think it might be, maybe he might not be the guy and people see it, but I would say that in the preseason, like you've said, it doesn't really matter. I want you to get out there. I want you to get some reps up. I want you to throw the ball, feel the speed, get a synergy between you and your receivers. I agree with you. I would leave him out there.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know. I didn't know what they were waiting for last year, Grant, to be honest with
you. Well, you know, in all fairness, last year, because you could see that, you know, Gurley couldn't run at all. Their offensive line was bad. They just felt that he was not ready at all to take that.
At all?
No, that's what the word was. He just was not ready at all.
But I'm going to take him with the number one pick, and he's not ready at all.
I'm telling you.
Goodness gracious.
There's a lot of people in the NFL that think he's going to be a bust. Now, I personally think that's too early to definitively say.
Right.
I mean, he hardly played at all.
Right. And that's to your point, why you might want to put him out there in the preseason and get him some reps, because ultimately when the season jumps off, if he is going to be your number one quarterback, unless they have a great idea of what they've seen from him in practice, and we're not there, so we don't know.
No, he's not. I mean, listen, teams want to win. If they felt that he was ready to play, and I think what made it worse for Jared Goff is to see what Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott did. And as I talked about yesterday, we would have never heard about Carson Wentz or Dak Prescott had it not been for Teddy Bridgewater's injury in Minnesota, had it not been for Romo's injury and Moore's injury in Dallas. But because of the injuries, those players were, for lack of a better term, forced to play, and they played well. Had it not been for those injuries, probably wouldn't have been as big of a talk about Jared Goff, because you wouldn't have been able to compare him to guys that were taken, you know, behind him that were playing and playing well.
So my question to you, Grant, is when there's an evaluation of these quarterbacks, and obviously Dak Prescott, you see the man, you hear him talk, you watch him throw, you watch him play. Was there, do you think, looking at him in Goff when they were coming out, was there that big a separation that he goes in the fourth round and you go in the first round? I mean, no, excuse me, the first pick? Because looking at it, if he's not ready, I don't know. That evaluation to
me is,
that's weird.
You know what, when one person in an organization falls in love with you as a talent, then it really doesn't matter. And you get hooked on that guy, and you're convinced that is going to be the guy.
Thanks,
Chicago
Wayne
Bears,
Cooper.
Mitch Trubisky. Nobody had him going too. They made a big deal, right?
Right.
To move up one spot, look at what they gave away. You know why? Because there was one person in the Chicago Bears organization that said, that guy's going to be a difference maker, and I don't care what anybody says, and I don't care what I have to give up, but that's the guy I want.
So how many jobs have been lost
a
doing
lot.
That?
A lot.
Because if you're wrong— You're fired, right?
I went through, absolutely. Ernie Accorsi, the general manager of the Giants, did the exact same thing with Eli Manning.
Okay.
He gave up a boatload, but he didn't care. He said, I'm doing whatever I have to do to get Eli Manning from San Diego. Now, it did help that Eli said he wasn't going to play there, but ultimately he would have, because he didn't have a choice. And Ernie Accorsi said, it doesn't matter. That's the guy I want. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get him, and the Giants did. And you know what?
He was right.
Right. He was right. Could the Bears be right? Sure, they could. Could the Rams end up being right? Sure, of course they could. You can't just destroy. You can't say that after 1 year the guy's got no chance. But I'll tell you this. He better play pretty well this year. Well, not great, but you know what? He better look like he belongs.
There you go. That's a great point. But, Grant, you got to give the man an offensive line. He has a running back you can hand the ball off to.
He didn't
to
do anything
protect
last year
him.
In Gurley.
But the offensive line wasn't doing anything. You got to put some pieces around these guys to help them at the same. Because look at Phillip Rivers. I mean, we're talking about, well, questionably a Hall of Fame quarterback, but they haven't been able to do nothing, just like Ben Roethlisberger's won a championship. Eli Manning's won a Super Bowl as well. You got to put something around these guys. You can't just say, because I don't look at Jared Goff, Grant, and go. He's that guy that can run if the pocket breaks down. He looks like he's a passer. So you better protect him if he's a passer.
All right, if you want to call and talk about that, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I'm curious, if you are a fan of the Rams, have you already checked out on Jared Goff, or are you like me where I got to see him play before I can make that determination? New coaching staff, new beginning. So let's see if Jared Goff can look like an NFL quarterback this year.
So Jared Goff's thing, Grant, is the ability to throw the football, right?
Well, yeah, but every quarterback in the NFL can throw the football. I think that's, to me, it's like in pro golf. Boy, he's a good striker of the golf ball. What guy in the PGA Tour is not a good striker of the golf ball? Have you ever watched the PGA Tour, the top 125, and watch a guy and go, boy, you know what? He's not a good striker of the football. Have you ever watched an NFL game and say, boy, that guy just can't throw the ball? You know, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, but my thing is, like, he's not going to get outside the pocket and run. The reason I'm saying that is then you, if that is the case, if he's going to be a pocket passer, you're going to have to surround him with some wide outs, some a tight end, some things that are going to allow him for his best attributes to shine. And I don't know that the Rams have done that.
Well, again, I just – you cannot take a young quarterback who's hardly played and automatically say, well, gee, you know what, he's a bust. I'm not ready to go there yet on Jared Goff.
Okay.
Just not.
I got you. Well, we will be watching because now he's going to get a chance to play unlike last year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he is going to get a chance to play. Now, there is no doubt about that.
Mike Thomas, wide receiver. Tavon Austin, wide receiver. You know, nothing is jumping out on me that's saying, okay, these are the guys that are going to, you know, he doesn't have a Megatron. He doesn't have, Antonio Brown.
Yeah, but who did they just make a trade for? They just made a big trade with Buffalo.
Oh, that's
to go
right.
Get Sammy Watkins.
Yeah,
because
they
now they
Sammy.
Said, okay, you know what? We're going to help our quarterback. We're going to get
call.
Him weapons.
Yep.
We are going to get him a go-to guy. And so now they do.
So that's exactly why I'm glad you said Sammy Watkins, because now – he has somebody that is a number one receiver you can throw the ball to. And if you throw it outside of his catch radius, he can go get it as opposed to some guys who cannot. And if you're going to have a quarterback that's going to be throwing the ball like that, you got to have some first class. And Sammy Watkins, he's right. I mean, they didn't want to pay him in Buffalo.
Right, and he gets hurt a lot. And he's got to stay on the field.
Yes,
that's
the
one thing that Sammy Watkins, he's got to be able to stay on the field.
Agreed.
All right, if you want to chime in on this talk, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We are going to talk with the Hall of Famer, Warren Moon, in about 10 minutes. We'll talk with the analyst for the Seattle Seahawks. That's Warren Moon. He's going to be coming up in about 10 minutes. And to me, Seattle's the team to beat in the NFC West. It's certainly not San Francisco. It's certainly not the Rams. It boils down between Arizona and Seattle, and I can't pick Arizona because of Carson Palmer. You're never going to win with Carson Palmer. So, you know, I don't care how many Larry Fitzgeralds they have. I don't care what their offense. You're not winning a big game of Carson Palmer's your quarterback. Just not happening. You are not going to win a big game, period.
Well, you know, Larry Fitzgerald is he's beating Father Time right now. He's been around, and
yep.
He has won. You know, they've taken him now and put him at the slot. But, I mean, that just kind of rejuvenated what he could do. Defensively, obviously, they've been the honey badger. They've been solid. But I would agree with you. Power rankings come out. Seahawks are at number three. I think, even for me, I'm a Seahawks fan. I think that might be a little high. They have some stuff to prove. But the defense, it looks to be healthy. So we will see with my Hawks.
All right, we got baseball on. We're talking about that. Some games already in the books. You know what game is on ESPN tonight, don't you?
It's got to be the Yankees.
Huh?
Yankees?
I don't know. I'm asking you to look. Who's playing?
The Yankees. Are they always on freaking TV,
Grant? They are
Grant?
On a lot. They really are on a lot.
Goodness gracious, man. Every time we come in here, one of the stations on the Yankees. I mean, sometimes we're watching Yankees on two TVs.
I'm really watching it because one of the best umpires in the bigs is at first base. The crew chief there, Bill Miller, is working first base. I love Bill. Great guy. And so I'm making sure that he doesn't mess up on any calls. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if he does, you just text him. Let him know.
We watched our other buddy, Brian. He had a great game behind the plate last night in Miami. He was right on his – he was spot on.
Yeah, we will have to give him his credit because we were watching earlier.
In the previous game with the A's and
the Royals.
There
was some questionable calls.
Yeah, no.
Not from Brian, though. He's got the old eagle eye.
What did you see? Adam Kinsler and what he said about Hernandez, the umpire. And, I mean, how does that guy not going to get suspended for multiple games for that?
I don't know. But did you see the call?
I did see the call.
It looked like it was on a golf team, but you can't, Grant,
after the game, come out and say that the guy needs to change professions and he's in the wrong profession and blah, blah, blah. You can say, you know what? It was horrible. It was a terrible call. I get that. Okay, I get that.
Right.
You've played sports. I get that. You can't sit there and go, the guy needs to, you know, he's in the wrong profession, and then go on and on and on about how basically what you're saying, he's not qualified to be an umpire. Well, whether you like him or not, he is qualified to be an umpire. He's worked in two World Series, okay?
Yeah.
Now, again, was it a bad call? Yeah, it looked like a bad call. But then you can't take a bad call. I mean, that would be like, you know, if the bases are loaded, and, you know, you're in a huge game, and Kinsler makes an error. Would an umpire come out after the game and say that guy doesn't deserve to be in the big leagues because he missed a routine ground ball, and because of that, his team lost, and they're not going to the playoff or whatever?
Yeah.
Would that be okay?
You can't.
I'm asking you, would that be okay?
It would not.
Okay.
And you can't let one call define his whole career. Do you think that Ian Kinsler was so out of bounds that they will suspend him for multiple games?
Yes, they have to.
Wow. Well, hey, he went all LeVar Ball AAU on him. That's what he did because, you know, that whole thing with the lady referee and stuff that LeVar did, and he said something similar. But this is Major League Baseball, and as you mentioned, he's been in two World Series, did you say?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, he must know what he's doing a little bit. But I will agree with Ian Kinsler that the call was absolutely terrible.
It was bad, but was. That doesn't mean that the guy is not qualified to be on the field.
No, I would agree with that part, but still, bad taste in his mouth. In the heat of the moment, you would think that by the time he went to the locker room, he might have cooled down, but he didn't.
Right, and so what that tells me is that there's history in the past, because that does happen a lot in baseball. There's history between umpires and players. There's history in the NBA. One of the great referees of his generation, Jake O'Donnell, they proved that he had bias against Clyde Drexler when he was with the Rockets, which carried over from his days in Portland and the league. And Jake O'Donnell was the best referee in the NBA, and he never reffed another game.
Wow.
Because the league agreed that there was bias, and as soon as they were able to determine that there was bias, he never officiated another game in the NBA, and he was one of the great referees, period.
Yeah, well, Joey Crawford and Tim Duncan. I mean, they kind of went at each other as well. So it happens, and it's understandable, but most times it doesn't. Once it's done, you kind of let it go.
All right, so here's what's coming up. We've got Warren Moon, the Hall of Famer. We're going to be previewing the Seahawks. We're going around. We're previewing as many teams as we can. We started with the NFC West. We did the Niners with Ted Robinson a day ago. And then coming up next, we'll talk with Warren Moon. And, you know, between now and the start, oh, boy, what a beautiful night. Between now and the start of the NFL season, we will be previewing at as many teams as we can.
You like that Mets outfit we're looking
like
at on TV?
No, I like the sun setting over the skyline, they showed. That was beautiful.
That was beautiful.
So when we come back, Warren Moon to talk the preview of the Seahawks right here on Sports 1140. Back with you here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Always a pleasure to be with the Hall of Famer and the analyst for the Seattle Seahawks on the Seahawks Radio Network. That's Warren Moon. Warren, Grant Napier, and Doug Christie, how are you today?
Grant, Doug, how are you guys doing today? It's football season again, and here we go.
Yeah, here we go is right. You know, the talk 12 months ago was about the offensive line of the Seahawks, and we saw that be an issue last year. Now here we are getting ready for the start of a 2017 season. How do you assess the offensive line?
Well, you know, I think they'll be better this year, Grant, just because they played together last year for the first time as a group. And And you don't have to have five all pros up on your offensive line, but you do have to have five guys playing together and playing in unison with great chemistry and communication. And I think they developed some of that over the season last year, and they've had an off season to look at their tapes, see where they need to improve. And then come into camp, they're just a much more confident bunch because they've gone through it once now. And as long as you're not having any major busts where guys are, you know, letting guys run free or you're just missing assignments, if you can get a hat on a hat on all plays, you have a chance to have a successful play. So I think that's where they're at right now, and they're going to continue to improve because they're a young, talented group.
You know, when you talk about the offense, that's one thing, but where Seattle Seahawks football is one is the Legion of Boom, and it looks like it is going to be a healthy one. First off, Earl Thomas, how is he looking?
Earl looks really good. He's covering a lot of ground. I don't know if you saw the game the other night against San Diego where Phillip Rivers tried a deep ball, and it was just a little bit overthrown, and mm-hmm. the defensive back, Shaquille Griffin, made a play on the ball and knocked it down, but Earl was right there to knock the receiver out just as that ball got there as well, and most safeties cannot make up that kind of ground from sideline to sideline. So he's showing his instincts are back, and he's got that great closing speed back, and he's really excited to be back out there.
We're talking with the Hall of Famer Warren Moon, previewing the Seattle Seahawks. Warren, let's talk about this running back situation. Will it be running back by committee, or will it be Eddie Lacy? Will it be Rawls? Let's talk about this.
Yeah, I think it's going to be running back by carries. You know, he's the guy that brought in because he had in previous years with Marshawn Lynch and that. But Thomas Rawls, when he's healthy, he's shown a productive back as well. So if we can keep both of those two guys healthy, they have different running. Prosite showed very well last year before he got injured. He's going to be mainly our third down back because he has excellent hands out of the backfield. He can run routes from the wide receiver spot, but he also can run the football from the backfield spot. So you get a triple threat with him in there. So I think with those three guys to go along with a young guy by the name of Chris Carson, who's really showing well in training camp, we've got four guys that I think can really add to the depth and make our running game much better than it was last year.
You know, Warren, the preseason projections came out, power rankings have the Seahawks at 3. I'm bullish, obviously. But where is your mind, and what do you think maybe the team's mind is around something like that? You think they're a little high, or are they confident where they're at?
You know, they're pretty confident. Of course, that group is going to always think they should be number one. They've got one of the tougher schedules coming into the league, into the season, and that's what happens when you win your division, and that's what happens when you win a lot of games. So they're used to playing tough schedules, and they don't back down from anybody. But it's going to be an interesting year. There's a lot of good teams in the NFC. You know, you got Green Bay, you got Atlanta, who's defending champions. You've got Arizona, who's going to be much more improved in our division. So there's some really good teams, and that whole NFC South is going to be a very good division. So the NFC is going to be really competitive this year.
Why do you think Arizona? You were given accolades to Arizona, and you know, I think defensively, I'm just not sold on Carson Palmer. But you know the position 50 times better than I do. What concerns you the most about Arizona? Because you look at them and you would think, okay, that would be the team that you're going to have to beat. I don't think anyone would pick San Francisco or the Rams, so it's going to be either the Seahawks or the Cardinals. What do you like about Arizona?
Well, I like the talent that they have, especially with Larry Fitzgerald in the receiving core. David Johnson is a back that is a threat a lot of different ways, touching the football, whether it's catching it or running with it. And the big key is going to be Carson Palmer. If he can stay healthy and upright the whole season, they have a chance to be in the mix. But if he's not, their backups have not shown that they can carry the load. And that's, I think, the difference in our division is the Seahawks have Russell Wilson. Arizona has Carson Palmer if healthy. And if those two teams stay healthy, they're going to battle it out for the division title, because I just don't think the quarterback play in San Francisco or the Rams is going to be strong enough to win the division. So that's my thinking there. If Carson Palmer stays healthy, they've got a chance.
You know, talking about quarterbacks, Warren, and obviously you know him better than anybody, Derek Carr, Raider Nation, he went down and their hopes went out the window. Last year, Russell Wilson had a bunch of nicks and different things. You got Trayvon Boykin, and preseason is one thing. I kind of like some of the things that I saw from him. Do you think that's a mindset of having somebody behind Russell that is maybe a little bit similar to how he delivers?
Yeah, Trayvon is a guy who can run around and make plays, kind of like Russell did his first few years. And he's getting better within the structure of the offense as far as going through his reads, and he did a nice job the other night, but he also showed how he can get outside the pocket and make things happen with his arm and his leg. So you definitely have to have a backup quarterback that can maybe win a game or two for you, and that's something they're hoping that they don't have to use this year, because that means Russell stays upright all season. But they also feel pretty confident that Trevon could maybe be that guy, or Austin Davis, who we brought in as well and is doing a good job. So all three of our quarterbacks played pretty well in that first preseason game, but again, it is a preseason game.
You know, when you played in training camp was so much different than it is now. I mean, it's night and day. There was so much more contact, you know, when you played and you went to training camp. But we still see fights, and I think that's always been part of training camp. But, you know, Pete Carroll spoke pretty strongly, you know, about that issue. As a former player and as someone that now, you know, works with the Seahawks and is with this team every day, how do you view fights in training camp?
I mean, they're just going to happen, Grant. That's just part of, you know, guys hitting each other every day, and especially hitting the same guys every day. Because when you go against, whether it's another team every day or you go against your own teammates, you just get to a point where in training camp, after a week or so, you start to see a lot of those fights happen, because guys are just a little bit irritable. They're a little bit on edge. They're getting tired of training camp, the monotony of it all, and those things happen. And it could be something that maybe it was a guy made a type of block that somebody didn't agree with, or maybe it was something that happened over a period of time where it was just wearing on somebody's nerves and he finally just let go emotionally. So those things are going to happen. They've been happening ever since I started playing the game way back when, and they're going to continue to happen. You try and limit them as much as you can, especially on your own football team, because you don't want your own players fighting each other, but sometimes that's good.
You know, Warren, when you talk about the physicality of the game and Coach Carroll, from where you were and the different teams you've been on and what you've seen, how is his training camp physicality? Do they get real physical? Does he back off a little bit so that these guys are fresh when the season starts? How is Coach Carroll's training camp?
It's amazing the way things have changed in the NFL. These guys have it so easy. It's it's no more double days. Guys have one practice a day, then they have another walkthrough. That is it's a walkthrough. Very little contact in training camp now. Guys are very rarely in pads all the time. So they really take care of the guys these days, because they're really worried about injuries. Every team is paranoid about that. They're paranoid about how much they play their guys during the preseason. They're also paranoid about how much they actually have contact in practice. I think it's really hurt the game, because I don't think players go into the season really physically prepared to play the game, because they haven't been tackling enough and things like that. But I guess you have to take the good with the bad, that if you want to protect your players and kind of lessen the amount of injuries and head injuries, you have to take the pads off a little bit more, and it's going to affect the game a little bit. But I think all in all, fans are still loving the game, because it's the number one sport in this country. It's still very popular.
Warren, always great for you to make time to come on our show. It's greatly appreciated, and we'll talk to you down the road. You be well.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you. That's the Hall of Famer Warren Moon joining us right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, our thanks to Warren Moon, the Hall of Famer.
Oh, yes. Great to hear the Hall of Famer Warren Moon break down some Seahawks football. Grant, we'll get around to your Giants. Hey, Grant, why aren't you a Mets fan?
Really?
You got to go back to now. I get it. I'm just wondering.
You know, I think as a boy, I think you gravitate towards who your parents rooted for, and if you're
why the hell does my son have an Odell Beckham jersey?
Huh?
Why does Odell?
Because he's smart. No, I think, you know, again, I think the majority of people listening probably ended up being a fan of the team that their dad or mom was a fan of.
Okay. So he was Giants and Yanks.
Giants, Yanks, Rangers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so no Islanders, no Mets.
Well, you got to remember, my dad, you know, when he was growing up, there were no Islanders, there were no Mets. It was the Brooklyn Dodgers, it was the New York Yankees, you know, it was the New York Giants, you know, both baseball and football.
Okay.
You know, I mean, there were no Mets, there were no Islanders. Grew up, why would you all of a sudden go from the Yankees to the Mets, you know, when they began play? I mean, now a lot of people in New York in my dad's generation were Dodger fans.
Okay, but they feel like, oh, they're traitors.
You know, they no, I
they
mean,
stayed
no.
with them.
You mean when they moved west?
Yeah.
You know what? You'd be surprised how many Dodger fans there are still on the East Coast.
Really?
Yeah. But okay. I mean, yeah, I mean, not all of them, but. Again, you know, when the Giants and Dodgers both moved out west, I do think the Yankees ended up getting more fans. But you see, the thing is, back then, you know, if you were a Dodgers fan or a Giants fan, you hated the Yankees. And if you were a Yankees fan, you hated the Dodgers. You hated it. You didn't root for, you know, those all three teams.
I got you. So the chances of you coming in the house with a Mets hat on, just not
there,
even.
Like, there was no chance.
So did you guys used to go to Giants games and Jets games?
Yeah, every Sunday we were at an NFL game.
So
every Sunday.
Either one of those?
Well, Giants, they were never at home on the same week. They were, one was home, one was on the road. We went to an NFL game every Sunday.
Oh, okay. So you did go, did you root for the Jets when
no,
you went?
No, I used to root for the Colts 1 week, the Patriots 2 weeks later. They hated me at Shea Stadium. I used to root for the Bills. They hated me. No, they actually, no, the season ticket holders at Shea Stadium, they did. They hated me. They did.
Really?
They were like, they used to kid my dad. Why are you bringing him? You know, why are you bringing him? I used to always root against the Jets. Always.
Wow. So did your dad was, you guys were more going because you were NFL fans and he wanted
well,
you
we
to
experience.
Well,
we were diehard Giants fans. But, I mean, you know, I mean, as a, think about it. You're 5 years old and you're going to an NFL game every week. And I did that all the way. And, you know, you got to remember, when I was growing up, the Giants were awful and the Jets were really good. The Jets won the Super Bowl in 69. They beat the Colts and Joe Namath guaranteeing the win. I mean, you know, they had some of the great, you know, that was the old AFL with Emerson Boozer and Matt Snell. And, you know, the Colts had Johnny Unitas, you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that era of football was incredible.
Have you ever seen the movie The Bronx Tale? By any chance? You got to check it out. You remind me of the kid in there, a little smart-ass New York kid, Collosional. That's his name. And he I could see you as a kid.
Well,
he didn't have red hair.
You know, no one roots for – that would be like someone going up to Washington and saying they root for both Washington and Washington State.
I got you. You can't
that's
do
right.
that.
So you don't root for both the Rangers and the Islanders. You
right.
hated the Islanders if
okay.
you were a Rangers fan and vice versa. You know, there are very, very few people I know.
You know a few?
Marty McNeil.
Really?
Oh, Marty roots for all the New York teams. And I used to get on him all the time. I'm like,
Marty,
what the hell is
Mac?
Wrong with you? No, Marty is one of the few people breathing that roots for all the New York teams.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I thought he was a Yankees fan.
He is a Yankees fan, but he also, yeah, so, you'll see him wear a Mets hat. And I'm like, Marty, what is wrong with you?
Marty Mac, say it ain't so, baby.
Oh, it is so. And he's proud to admit it. I'm like, Marty, you know what? You're the only one I know that roots for both the Yankees and the Mets. I don't know anybody that roots for
so
the Yankees and the Mets.
What does he do on a day like today? And it's a Subway Series.
You know, that's a great question. I don't know. You know, he probably rooting for both. I don't know. That's the weirdest thing in the world. I've never understood that. I just think, you know, that's like saying, do you root for both? How many people do you know that you've met since you moved to Northern California or have played with the Kings that root for both the Raiders and the 49ers?
Haven't ran into one.
All right, how many people do you know that root for both the Giants and the A's?
Haven't ran into one.
All right, well, it's no different in New York, or it's no different in – you think people in Chicago root for the Cubs and the White Sox?
Goodness gracious.
No, I'm just asking. Do you think people root for the Cubs and the White Sox?
No, there are lines that are drawn.
That's right. So, I mean
– ancestral.
Exactly.
Well – man, I wish I'd have knew that when we were playing. I would have really busted
well,
Marty's
you
balls.
Well, you could have known because you would have just said, Marty, weren't you wearing a Yankees hat yesterday, and today you're wearing a Mets hat? It would have been very simple.
I don't remember seeing Marty wear that many hats, but I never knew that, man. Okay, well, now I Pops.
Yes.
He's the one to.
But you also have to understand, though, again, you're talking about two franchises that – didn't start until my father, in this particular instance, would have already had strong rooting interest. That would be like, let me just give you, if you're a Sacramento Kings fan.
Right.
And another NBA team, an expansion team, moved to Sacramento and started playing next week.
Yeah.
There would be very few Kings fans that would say, I'm going to start rooting for the expansion franchise. Okay.
Well, especially Kings fans.
That's my point. That's what I'm saying.
Except if there's a couple out there that might have went over to Golden State side.
Well, but maybe. But my point is, you know, it's just when you have an allegiance for a team, if you're a true fan, you don't change your allegiance.
Well,
that's why happened with the Cubs was so special, because their fans, were true Cubs fans and had been for decades. They didn't change their allegiance.
My father lived in Longview.
Yeah.
He's from
Texas. Where's Longview? I'm sorry.
So Seattle is north. Longview is about 90 minutes south towards Portland. So once I met my dad and I started going down visiting him, they're from Texas. So you couldn't live inside the house unless you're a Cowboys fan. So when I was a little kid, I started being a Cowboys fan. But, you know, once I owned my own team.
Once you've got a brain in your head. Right, I understand.
But that's how you can change your allegiance because I said, no, I'm rolling with the Seahawks. You guys can have the Cowboys.
I just, you know, I have this conversation all the time. Barring a team moving, okay?
Okay.
I just don't see how you can change allegiance from one team to another. I could never do it. I mean, I will die a Yankees fan and a Giants fan and a Rangers fan, and nothing would ever change that.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, I know if you told your kid in the back seat, no way he's wearing a Bo Sox hat.
Well, no, I mean, that was, they knew from a very early age there were certain things that were not acceptable.
Grant Napier, you are something else.
Well, man. It's just, you know. All right, we got 1 hour left. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls on Sports 1140.